Hi, I'm Laurie Wright, also known as Not Your Average Grandma. I created this podcast as a place to go for midlife inspiration. If you are in a stage where you believe the best is behind you, it is my hope that one of these episodes will ignite a long suppressed or unrealized desire, and you will see the potential within yourself just waiting to be tapped so you can do amazing things with the time you have left. I want you to stop seeing your age as a limitation and start seeing it as your superpower. You have years of experience and value that a younger you never had, so it's time to lean into that and use it to fuel your future. No more letting age hold you back from the pursuit of a more passion-filled life. The more passionate we are, the better the world will be. So stop settling for average, put your AirPods in, and let this episode inspire you to take the first step in transforming your mind, body, and soul. Welcome to another episode of Not Your Average Lives. I am taking advantage of an afternoon where my house is quiet, my husband went golfing, and my dog is under the sofa there. If you're on my YouTube channel and watching me, yes, and hopefully he'll cooperate. He's taking a nap. So we'll see how long he can hang in there, because I'm going to try and get three episodes done. And obviously these will air later, but I am recording them now. So the one I want to start with is a lesson learned. And it is based on something that I did yesterday. So it's very fresh in my mind. And I wanted to get it out there while it was still very fresh in my mind. I'm reading an excellent book, and I'll link to the book in the show notes, but it's called The Magic of Believing. It's called The Magic of Believing, and it is by Claude M. Bristol, and it was written in 1948. So it's actually an old book, and you'll hear references to things in the book, like, you know, he was in the military, and he was talking about when in the 30s. So, you know, it's old when you hear that. He's no longer alive, I am sure. But so much of what he writes about in his book is so true. And it was recommended to me by my coach at a recent retreat. And I shared some stuff with my students last night that I have gleaned from it. But I did something he recommended, and it was fascinating. Super easy to do. So I would like to challenge you to do something similar. So the chapter that I was listening to yesterday, I had a mammogram, and I had a mammogram appointment in the afternoon, and I needed to shower. I wanted to shower. You know, you're not supposed to have deodorant on when you go get your mammogram. So I wanted to make sure there was no deodorant remnants. And so while I was in the shower, I have a speaker in my bathroom. And so I was listening to this on audio, on Audible. And chapter 5 is The Art of Mental Pictures. And so, you know, this is something I teach in the Second Half Spark School, is about creating a vision and listening to that vision, and including when you have this vision, all of the senses in this vision. You should really have this movie image in your mind. It's like, use your imagination to create that which you desire. And so this chapter was really about that, but using specific, he had really great examples. He started the chapter by, he likely taught this to salespeople, right? Because imagining the sale, that you've already gotten the sale, very, very important for salespeople to visualize that and then help them get more sales. So I'm sure he was somebody who spoke a lot at, you know, for sales teams. So for instance, one of the examples he used was where there was this really gruff man that had a store, and the salesman was afraid, and most people who were afraid to sell to him because he was so gruff. And he had white whiskers. And so once he shared, just visualize the person being, you know, nicer, being gentler, a different version of that, which, you know, because a lot of times what we see isn't really reality. So because this person might have been gruff, and maybe you heard a story or two, then you think this person is a mean person, and you can't get the sale from them, when in reality, maybe the person just had a bad day and they're actually super nice. So you mentally visualize whatever that conversation is in advance of it happening. And so you basically can visualize something. One of the things he said is our thoughts determine our carriage, which really means that when we have these thoughts and we can create these thoughts in advance and these visions of what we want, it creates the way we carry ourselves. It creates the sense of confidence. It creates, we can step into this future version of ourselves that has the confidence that we might not feel we have having not made the sale yet. But since we're visualizing this great conversation, we're visualizing the transaction of money and the person that you're selling to is being super nice and super engaging and it goes really well. And then receiving that money, hey, that's going to do a lot for your confidence before it even actually happens. So he used this example of the Santa Claus, or I'm sorry, this man with whiskers and the salesperson came up with a Santa Claus. As okay, that's who I'm going to pretend, I'm going to visualize, I'm going to imagine that I'm talking to Santa Claus. And we all know Santa Claus is amazing, right? Easy to talk to, wonderful. And so he did that and he got the sale. So that was a really fun example to listen to. He was talking about business too, and he was talking and specifically about an oil refinery company, and it was experiencing financial difficulty. And so there was a meeting with the stockholders and there was a request. And of course, I'm summarizing this because his explanation was a little bit more lengthy, but essentially he told, or the stockholders were asked to visually imagine, to visualize that the oil coming out of the spigots was actually coming out as money. And of course, the company, the sales, the finances turned around and the company did really well and the stockholders got a return on their investment. So that was a great example. Another example he used is something super simple, like a friend, if you're in the room, and this is more along the lines of kind of when you see something, it actually impresses you in a way that you can take on the experience of somebody else. So that's what your mind kind of can play tricks on you. And so how impressionable our mind is. And so he used the example of a friend sucking on a lemon. And he said, try to whistle when you are in the room present with somebody who is sucking on a lemon. And it's super hard to do because you're like imagining, you're watching and witnessing this person sucking on a lemon. And it's happening to you, even though you're not experiencing it at the moment. He's just talking about how the power of imagination. And in that case, like the impression that you receive of that happening to you is pretty powerful. And this is just how the mind works, right? So he went on to use some other super simple examples. And so while I was in the shower, I was impressed upon his example of envisioning a good parking space. So since I had a mammogram appointment, I thought, oh, let me practice this. Let me see if this actually works. And so one of the things he said that I will share this quote is, we influence events through the desires of the subconscious, end quote. So in other words, if I visualize a parking spot being available through my subconscious, I can actually make the event happen. It's crazy. That like my thoughts can actually put that energy out there in the universe and it could happen. And he had umpteen examples in the book. Hence the book title, The Magic of Believing. If I can believe and I can see in my mind's eye a parking spot being available, then chances are there will be one available. All right. So that's what I did. And so I finished showering, kind of forgot that as I was getting ready, making lunch. And then right before I left to go to the appointment, and of course I've had mammograms before, I looked at my calendar and there was a different address than my previous appointments. And so I thought, oh no, what I'm visual, because I was visualizing the old place. And what I was actually visualizing is a curb, because I knew the layout of the parking lot. And there, I was visualizing pulling in to the closest spot. And I'm really funny about, like, I don't want people to ding me on either side. And so, like, reduce the chance by 50%. So only one will ding you. So if I park on the first most spot and there's a curb next to me, nobody's going to park next to me, even like a handicap. There was no handicapped spot next to me. It was because a lot of spots are handicapped now. So if you park in the closest unhandicapped spot, you still have maybe two people next to you. So anyways, that's what I was envisioning, a curb with like a grassy median as the first spot. So I called the number because I didn't want to go to the wrong place. And I said, hey, I just want to check to see if my appointment is at this place or that place. And they said, no, it's at this place, new place, not the place I've been to before. So I said, okay, glad I got that straightened out before I got in my car and drove there. And the new place happened to be closer, so it was great. So I, meanwhile, get in my car, start heading there, and you know, turning on the music, thinking about something else, not thinking about what I decided I was going to visualize and did visualize in the shower. I really kind of got distracted completely. And then I pull into the parking lot and I see, like, honestly, acres of handicap spots. It was like, if you think of a parking lot kind of divided into sections where you turn into one section and there's parking on both sides. So there was like four sections total in front of the building that I would consider would have a spot that would be closest in. So I had like ample opportunity, four sections of possibilities of, you know, first spots. And if you think of it that way, every section, there were two spots, like one you park into to the left part of the parking lot or one you pull into the right side, right? And so basically, if you times that, so I had two opportunities per section for a first in line spot. So I had eight opportunities, right? But three of the sections were all handicapped. Three of the sections were totally not available, ever would be available, because they were all handicapped. I've never seen so many handicapped spots. They were six deep, which means 12 in each section. So it's 12 times, there's like 36 handicapped spots at this medical facility. And I guess that, you know, at a medical facility, there's a lot of handicapped people that are like in wheelchairs and stuff that have to get there. So the funny thing is, it's like there's only one car parked in them. All right. So I keep driving past all these handicapped spots. The last section, the fourth section that had no handicap spots first, had a spot. First spot had one spot, and there were two cars in like the second and third spot. So it wasn't like it was an empty parking lot. I mean, it was an empty parking lot where the handicap spots were, but once you got past the handicap spots, there were cars parked. So this fourth section had the exact spot that I was visualizing. It had a curb. It had a little grassy median next to the curb. And it was the first spot before the building. Crazy, crazy, right? I was like, oh my God. I was like, oh my God. Well, first of all, I was excited because exactly what he said in the book came true. I thought, I'll try this. I'll see if it happens. And it did. So I thought, oh my gosh, first of all, I need to share this. And second of all, it was a great example for my students because I was going to talk to them about an exercise in believing and how you use belief in your, I do this future you exercise. And what you do is you create this version of you that has the things that you desire. And you envision this person, real or imagined. You might know somebody like this person who has this goal that you want. And what are the characteristics and traits of this person? And then you start to, you know, kind of embody those same traits and characteristics. And so when you start to do that and you start to believe that it's possible for you, you start to believe that and if you have do visioning exercises where you're actually seeing the outcome. So you're seeing yourself, the desires of what you want to bring into your life are actually happening. You're envisioning that as simple as the parking lot exercise that I did, then you can actually expedite, you will speed up according to Mr. Claude, you will speed up the process. You will speed up the process with a mental picture. You will speed up the process of getting to that outcome you desire. The salesperson will speed up the ability to get to his sales quota. The person who is a stockholder in that oil refinery company will start to see the financial turnaround of his company more quickly than he would have. And possibly if they hadn't collectively done that visioning because it was a whole collection of people doing it, maybe the company wouldn't have even succeeded. So it's quite fascinating how the power of the mind and how we can bring into existence that which we desire by using thoughts and our subconscious, because our subconscious is always working for us. I don't know how it works in the world in terms of energy to have created that parking space for me, but I'll take it. I'll take it. I even did a video of it. I had to like record it and has proof. So I recorded it and posted it on my social media. So you can actually go and see my little recording of what my vantage point was like when I saw that spot and I pulled right into it. And I was tickled pink. So that is my lesson learned about using the magic of belief.
Thank you so much for tuning into the Not Your Average Lives podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure to subscribe on iTunes if you have an Apple device. You can find free resources and learn what else I have going on at the moment that might interest you on my website at notyouraveragegrandma.com. You can also find me on Instagram or Facebook at Not Your Average Grandma. If you liked this episode, it would make my heart so happy if you could leave me a 5-star rating. You can also add a review to let me know what you like about this podcast, which will help spread the word about it to others who need a little midlife inspiration. As always, be you, listen to your inner voice, and focus on reigniting that lost spark so you can start living your own Not Your Average life.